Welcome to the Gathering at Meadowview with Doug Messer, a church focused on biblical truth through scriptural teaching. I hope you enjoy the message today.
Easter was last week, as you remember. And as we think about as our movement ahead, even in the Bible, our movement ahead, the next movement ahead was Jesus's walking on the earth for 40 days. And during this time, he showed himself to a lot of people, 500 people at one time. There were graves that opened up. Besides Christ, there were graves of saints that opened up, and they walked around in the city of Jerusalem. He showed himself to the disciples, to individual people. He showed himself to two guys walking down a road, the Emmaus Road, and he showed himself to them. So he was seen by many people. Today, before we start in this story, I need you to answer a question in your heart. And you might not have an answer for it. And it's a challenge that you don't have an answer for this. And it may be a reason why sometimes your Christian life falters, or why it feels like it may be weak, or it may feel like you're just doing the thing. But you have to have an answer for this question. It's beyond being saved. It's a question that comes from people outside of the church many times. And here it is. How do you know God's real? Can you prove it? How do you know God is real? Maybe you've never even thought of that before, but it has to be answered. By each of us, it has to be answered. To some people, it causes a lot of separation, a lot of confusion and anxiety, just even thinking about it. To some people, it's great encouragement, and they could tell you why. How do you know, personally, how do you know it is real? Here's the rest of the story. If you take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 20, we introduce you to a man who has an adjective in front of his name many times, and his name is many times called Doubting Thomas. And it was after the resurrection of Jesus, and he hadn't seen Jesus yet. His friends had seen Jesus, and they come to him, and we look at verse 24 of John 20, page 676 in these Bibles, and it says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound on his side. I'm not going to believe it. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, and suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my side. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. You are in a special group of people. I don't believe any of us have seen Jesus. We haven't seen him walking. We haven't seen his hands. We haven't seen his side. It says, blessed are the people who haven't seen me, and yet they believe. How do you know God is real? How do you know it? Do you know for sure? And some people do the church thing. They've been going to church since kids. They've been to church. They've been to special services. They have a Bible. They've read their Bible some. But they don't have an answer to this question. and there their life is, and it isn't breathing in, and it isn't changing, and it isn't a dependency on God, and it isn't knowing Him, and there's a faltering back and forth, and there's an up and down movement in their life. And mostly it is because they haven't answered this question. They haven't sought God out for the answer. Many years ago, Billy Graham, as you've heard of Billy Graham and Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, there was another counter that he had, a man that he worked with, and they did crusades together, and his name was Charles Templeton. Charles Templeton was really even bigger than Billy Graham was in the beginning. He did crusades with 30,000 people, went to Asia, went to Europe. He went to many different countries and did crusades. He worked with Youth for Christ. He and Billy Graham kind of teamed together. And at one time, Billy Graham said, "This is my best friend." And they would do these wonderful crusades together. Charles Templeton, after a period of time, there was some doubt that started coming into his mind. He started trying to rationalize this Christianity kind of thing. He talked to some professors. He went to Princeton, and he talked to some different professors who were involved in different kind of philosophical thinking. And he came to a place where he renounced God. He was a pastor in a church. He had the pastor of a church he grew up in, and whenever he wasn't doing crusades, this church grew and expanded and was doing great. He came before this church and he said to this church, "I no longer believe the tenets of faith. I don't even know," and at that time he was agnostic, "I don't even know truly if I could tell you God even exists. I'm resigning of my position here in the church." And he quit the crusades. And he went and talked to Billy Graham. And he said, "I can't believe this stuff. I mean, Noah and the ark and creation, this doesn't make sense." And because Billy was close to him and they talked together, it put a seed of doubt in Billy's thinking. And Billy said, "I can't go on like this." And he talked to his wife, Ruth, and he said, "I can't go on like this." And so one evening, Billy Graham went in the woods and sat on a stump. The stars were out. It was dark, cool evening. And he said, "God, you're going to have to prove yourself to me. Prove it so that I never, ever doubt anything. Right now, the seed of doubt came towards me. And I want you to answer this question. Are you real?" He said, out there in the middle of the woods, he felt God's Spirit speak to him. He felt the presence of God and God minister to him. And he said from that day on, he never doubted it again. Charles Templeton said, "Billy went this way and I went this way." Charles Templeton wrote a book and it was called Farewell to God. And he told the reasons why he denounced his faith. He went on in a sad life and that kind of thinking, wrote many more books. Was on his deathbed. Some people say on his deathbed, he made a recommitment. He sought God out. Some people say that he stayed in the place that he was, not believing that God existed. And you say to yourself, how could a person get to that place? I mean, here he was a preacher and leading people to the Lord, because he never answered the question. How do I know God is real? Prove it in my life. Before I ever stand at a pulpit, before I ever talk to anybody, before I ever even open up my Bible and read it and I have to answer the question, how do I know God is real? How do I know it? Do you have the answer? If your grandchild was to come up to you, sit on your knee and say, "Grandma, Grandpa, is there really a God?" "Oh, yes. How do you know?" How do you know that he's real? Or a friend, or perhaps your best friend is dying in the hospital, and they say to you, "Come close, listen to me. I know you go to church. How do you know he's real? Tell me how you know he's real." Will you falter? Will you have anything that you can say? Can you give an experience from your life in sharing that truth? I don't really like doing this. It's very humbling to me. but I don't know who else to tell it about. So if you were to ask me, Doug, how do you know God's real? This is what I would tell you. This is what I would say. All my life, I have known of his presence. It wasn't because my daddy or my mama or my grandma. It's just, I always knew. I can remember as a young kid, I had my grandma's big old Bible. It didn't make much sense to me reading it, but I had it and I would read it. And I can remember God like just an overwhelming presence of him. And I didn't know what else to do. And I'd go way out in this hay field and I'd lay down on my back in the hay field and I'd look up at the clouds and I'd have my Bible and I could feel him. I knew he was there. As a young kid, I knew he was there. And I could come back and I felt a sense of feeling or acknowledging that he was there. Always knew he was there. Sometimes I would sense him speaking to me, and it was never like, Doug, I never heard that. But in my spirit, I could sense it. I remember sitting in church one time, and I was sitting there, and I was just a young kid, and I felt him say, go and tell people. I got up and ran out of church. I ran down the road, and there was a trailer, and I went up and knocked on the door of the trailer, and this guy answered the door, you know? I said, do you know Jesus? No. Would you like to? Sure. So I prayed with him. You know, it was always that way. I always knew it. And school was a nightmare for me. I always felt like teachers were like Charlie Brown's teacher, remember? You know, you never could understand when he was at school. You could never understand. That's how school was to me. I sat in the hall most of the time. Doug, desk, out in the hall. You know, and kids would go by and laugh at you, and you're sitting outside with your... It just never made sense. I was too active. I was always in trouble. I always felt like everybody else was up here and I'm down here. I wasn't good at sports. I wasn't good at anything. I always felt underneath everybody. Do you know what God did? He would tell me that he picks me, and I couldn't imagine why. My parents sent me to camp one time, and my brother and my sister and kids from our youth group are in this big line, about 100 kids register for camp. The director didn't know us, nothing. I was 15 years old. I'm standing there in my little suitcase and my sleeping bag, and the director's walking down next to everybody, and he just turns and he looks at me and said, would you be a counselor this week? Who, me? Yeah, sure. You know, always got picked. And I would look at myself and say, I'm worthless. Why would you even pick me? Why would that happen? I went to college and, you know, first semester in college. And again, I wasn't a good student. And I had horrible grades. My roommate had horrible grades. I remember him coming back and packing his suitcase and said, they just kicked me out because my grades. Mine were the same as his. Then the dean called me to his office and he said, we've been praying, the teachers and I, and we feel like God's got something for you, and we want you to stay in school. Try harder. Okay, thank you. Picked. Always got picked. I never pursued, I didn't want to be a preacher. He just picked me. Puts it right in front of you. So you can't even say no. I mean, right in front, even with church, even with hope, even with a camp, even with here. And I would always think, I am worthless. Why are you doing this? And inside, it made me feel like to him, his presence was there. I went to a preacher's meeting one time. I got off work. I was a diesel mechanic. I stunk like diesel fuel, had on my work boots, and I pulled some clean blue jeans on. I think I still had my uniform on that said Franklin Machine Doug, D-U-G, over here. And I went to this meeting, and I was late, and I came towards the doors, and there were glass doors, and all these preachers were sitting in there in a big circle. They had their suits and ties on. They looked really good, had really nice looking hair. They didn't even have grease on their boots. And I came in and sat down. I said, I shouldn't be here. I almost left. I can't do this. I can't. I put my head down on my face like this, and I was going like this, and I felt God say to me, I picked you. I want you to do it. He didn't care what I looked like. He didn't care that I wasn't smart. He didn't care that I can't read good and I have dyslexia and everything turns around when I'm reading. He didn't care at all. He said, I picked you. And I knew of his presence. And you might not have the same story I have, but you might have had cancer. You might have had heart problems and you're in the hospital and God met you and you said, I know God. That's how I know. I was in the hospital and God did this. This happened with my child and I met God. God worked in this way in my life. How do you know that God's real? How did he show himself to you? Did he pick you? Did he pick you for something? Did he do something in your life? Did he answer in prayer? Did he follow with you? Did you see that he saved you from this accident, that he gave you life? You were in a relationship that was horrible, and you felt as if you were worthless, and all of a sudden God brought somebody into your life, and he mended things, and you say, I know God is real. He did this. He worked in this way. That is my God. I know he's real. There's other ways too. It's God's word. How do you know God's real? Because when I read it at times, I read his word and I might be on the stump in the middle of the woods and I might be in a quest, a spiritual quest in my life, and I read something and when I read it, he speaks to me. Thy word is a lamp unto me, my feet, a light unto my path. And I read it and he gives me light in my life and I know what to do and I can make decisions because of his word. There was an 8-year-old kid named Josiah. His dad was perverted, twisted, morally horrible. He died. He was the king of Israel. And this 8-year-old kid takes over the kingdom. All he ever knew about was his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather were horrible. They did horrible things in Israel. They overtaxed the people. They worshiped pagan gods. They had all kinds of practices that were degrading and horrible. There was even sacrifice of children. But he heard about David, and he heard about who David was. When Josiah the king was 26 years old, they were cleaning up in Jerusalem. Somebody went into the temple and was sweeping. And they were cleaning because they were using it for consignment shop and different things and different pagan practices were going on. Somebody kicked over some rubble and there was a scroll. And the scroll was the law of God, the word of God, the Bible we would call it. And they said, maybe King Josiah would want this. So they brought it to the king. And he said, read it to me. Would you read it to me? He'd never heard it before. When they started reading the law to Josiah, he fell on his face. He ripped his clothes. He said, God, we repent. I'm hearing your word and we repent. We're going to be a people that follow after you from this day on. And they did. Well, he was in reign. He did the right thing. Why? Because of the word of God. So if you went to Josiah and you said to him, how do you know God's real? Because I wanted to be like King David. And when the word of God came into my life, it changed the way that I thought. It gave me perspective in my life. It gave me focus in my life. And that's who I want to be. That's who I wanted to be after that. I know God's real because his word spoke to me. Something else that will speak to us and tell us that God is real. Another thing that happens in our life is testimony. When you come together in church, when you come on Mondays and you come on Wednesdays, you meet other Christians. You talk with them. Then pretty soon they tell you something that they have gone through in their life or how God has worked. I and you, if you've been in church a long time, have met these incredible people who are godly. And sometimes when you feel a little bit weak, you think about what God did in their life and who they are and their perspective of God and how he moved among them. And it causes you to say, you know what, God is really real. It doesn't matter if it was a big church or a little church. It doesn't matter who these people were, what cultural background, economic background they came from. But you met them and you saw God in them, and it gave you strength in your life. So the testimony of saints proves to us that God is real. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but come together and encourage one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." In other words, when you come together, it is that you encourage each other in faith. You encourage in testimony. You say, you know what happened? I mean, Gilbert sent me a Bible verse this week. I read the verse. It encourages me. That verse is important. I hold to that verse. It was something that was important to him. He says he has it with him all the time and thinks about that verse. So then I think in my life, God is real. I falter. I fall. I repent. I ask God to cleanse in my life. I feel like I'm worthless. But then when I see people who walk with God and their steadfastness, I say, I want to get up and go. God picked us. We need to do what God tells us to do. We need to move in this way. We need to follow with God's plan and share that truth within our life. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And the other part of that would be you encouraging others. You telling people what God has done in you. Your testimony to others, and know that they can hold to that and that will carry them. Here's the last one. How do you know God is real? Not only is His word, or His picking you, or His steadfastness in your life, or the testimonies that you hear from other believers, but it's faith. He says the just live by faith. And so you might say, there was a time in my life when God said to me, don't be afraid. Lots of people face lots of fears. There's lots of things they're afraid of. Fear then has a sister. Fear's sister is anxiety and depression and defeat. And a person might say, you know, in that little Bible verse, 23rd Psalm, that's always on the back of those bulletins that you get at a funeral service, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God, this fear, this all these problems, all this heaviness, all this weight on me, I'm not going to be afraid because I'm giving it to you. You know what? When I did that, God took that. God worked. I let it go. I didn't hold to it. I truly believed what He said He would do. And then the next day, as I moved forward and I was active and I was doing things, I didn't have this overwhelming heaviness, because I gave it to God. Why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it work for you? Because you haven't answered the question yet. Why do you believe that God is real? When we exercise faith, do we truly give it to Him? Do we really believe the testimonies of the saints, or do we even ask for them? Do we truly know God's word and we just don't read it, but we apply it and we ask Him to breathe into us? Do we have stump sessions sometimes where we go out and we find God and He tells you that you are His pick, that He has placed you, that He has worked in you? Do we truly believe that He is a conqueror over this world around us, that He allows us to walk away from death and have new life? Do we believe that He is the one who has given us promises? Grandpa, is God real?
Yes, yes, He's real.
How do you know? What's your answer? Best friend, is God real to you? I mean, I see something different in you. Can you tell me right now, is God real? And how do you know it? How do you know He's real? Charles Templeton, God bless him, In spite of himself, God used him. There are probably thousands of people worldwide who said that they have come to know Jesus Christ because the word will not return void. It went out. But he never answered the question. If he did, he wouldn't have faltered. He might have had a quest for a while. He might have had a stump session, but he would have come through because he answered the question in his life. And you have to answer it. I have to know it. We have to stand on it. How do you know God's real? Otherwise, forget the whole deal. Write your own book, Farewell to God. Or do you have an answer for it? Do you know he's real and you could give account for it and the truth of the Lord? I want us to close together with this song today. As our worship team comes and we close together, this whole question that I asked you is already asked in the Bible. And in 2 Corinthians 13, it says, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Where are you? Answer the question.
Thank you for listening. Join us here in person at the Gathering in Meadowview in Rogersville, Tennessee, or join us next week right here on the Dig Bible Podcast.